Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, February the 28th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to lead us day by day, showing us the pathway before us, and showing us the revealing of your prophecies. We ask, Lord, that today you would help us to continue our journey, preparing for the time to come, so that our hearts might be strengthened, and our faith enlarged. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have been hearing quite a lot about Brexit. That is the departing of Britain from the European Union. I have gotten quite a number of questions on that subject with regard to people understanding what exactly is the problem. Why does Britain no longer want to be there, or why do some people in Britain no longer want to be a part of the European Union? Today I want to share with you first an article found in Politico magazine. The website is Politico. And this was published back in the year 2005, April the 6th, 2005. The writer of the article is Tim King. K-I-N-G. And here's an amazing subject, an amazing topic, which in itself does reveal some of the implications of what is happening in the European Union right now. Here's the topic. Is the Vatican the cause of Britain's European schism? Title again. Is the Vatican the cause of Britain's European schism? As I said before, the article is found on the Politico website, published April the 6th, 2005. Now, the writer of the article is Tim King. Tim King. Here's that article. Viewed from Brussels, the death of Pope John Paul II underlines some differences between the United Kingdom and its neighbors. Those differences have had a lasting effect on Britain's place in the European Union. The Pope's funeral might have the power to shift the date of the secular wedding of the heir to the British throne, but the UK can never properly belong to any family of Catholic nations. Now that in itself is an amazing subject, an amazing statement. Continuing. Roman Catholicism shaped the present-day politics of several of the UK's EU partners in a way that is not true of Britain. Whereas Catholicism was a dominant political force during the 19th and 20th centuries in continental Europe, it was largely excised from English politics by the end of the 17th century. The work begun by Henry VIII during the 16th century and fought over for the subsequent 150 years was settled, as it turned out, when the Catholic monarch was replaced by the Protestant William of Orange, a Dutch import. The Catholic faith certainly remained an influence on politics in Ireland and Scotland, but in England at least, Catholicism was a minority pursuit. And at various times, that minority was persecuted. What is now the European Union was the creation of Roman Catholics. Men like Robert Schuman, Konrad Adenauer, Jean Monnet, Alcide de Gasperi, and Walter Hallstein. Roman Catholicism was in at the birth of the EU. Britain was not. Let me pause here again to let you know I'm reading from Politico magazine, Politico website, an article published April the 6th, 2005, written by Tim King, and the title is the Vatican the cause of Britain's European schism? Continuing. Ernest Bevin, the British Foreign Secretary, at the time of the Schuman Plan, harbored suspicions that the Coal and Steel Company was a Catholic conspiracy. You know, they put together an organization called the Coal and Steel Community, where all of the coal and steel companies in Europe came together under one association. Continuing. Roy Jenkins, later president of the European Commission, recounts how in 1962 he organized a meeting between Jean Monnet and the then labor leader Hugh Gaskell, in the hope that Monnet would bring Gaskell round to view the European Economic Community more favorably. Gaskell was uncomprehending of Monet's faith, Jenkins wrote later. The inability to comprehend Catholicism is part of what has made Britain's dialogue with the EU difficult. Perhaps to make up for this gap in understanding, a disproportionately high number of diplomats charged with representing Her Majesty's government in Brussels has been Roman Catholics. That would be Sir Michael Palliser, Sir John Kerr, and Sir Stephen Wall. Elsewhere in Europe, engaging with Catholicism was a routine part of a political education, even for those fiercely opposed to the Vatican. The influence of Catholicism was not confined to Christian democracy of the center-right. Jacques Delors, the French minister who became a dominant commission president, came out of the Catholic left. The Genèse Ouvrière Chrétienne and the Catholic trade union movement in France. But the left also developed a tradition of anti-clericalism, which was, for instance, a defining feature of the socialist part of Paul-Henri Spaak, the Belgian prime minister, another of the EU's founding fathers. British socialism, by contrast, had no strong anti-clerical tradition. Nor does British liberalism, nor is there a counterpart in the tradition of left-wing Catholicism. The identities of Britain's political parties are different from those of their counterparts from various EU states. Most obviously, the British Conservative Party sits uncomfortably apart from the European People's Party. Not that the Christian democracy of today's EPP, is the same as that of Adenauer's day, a secular managerialism with a dash of nationalism characterizes nearly all modern politics, left or right. The German Christian Democrats are forsaking their Catholic roots. In Belgium, the Francophone Christian Democrats have rebranded themselves as the Center Democratic Humanists. Christian democracy has fissured repeatedly in Italy. France has always been a bit different because of the obsession with separating church from state, but Napoleon did not succeed in extirpating the church and had to settle with Pope Pius VII. Catholicism was the religion of the people, if not of the state. The Roman Catholic Church remains a strong, if divisive, influence in France. In Ireland, the Catholic Church is not the force it once was, though the Foreign Minister Dermot Ayer is perceived as being strongly pro-Vatican. In Austria, Spain, and Portugal, the Catholic influence on the center-right is still powerful. The Vatican's influence on European politics may now be weaker, but still the imprint is there. There are mainstream newspapers in the likes of Spain and Belgium that are still distinctly Catholic. All of this matters to Britain and its relations with the European Union. The UK talks a different language. It does not share the same assumptions. The UK, for instance, does not suffer the same agonies as some EU states over admitting Turkey to the EU, because it has never accepted the EU as a Catholic construct. It may have signed up to the Treaty of Rome, but it didn't sign up to Rome. This non-Catholicism of the UK sets it apart from other pre-2004 members of the EU, save Finland, Sweden, and Denmark, and for other reasons, Greece. Of the 2004 intake, the most Catholic are perhaps Poland, Slovenia, and Malta. None of this is to cast judgment on Catholicism as a benign or malign influence. It is merely to observe, with the assistance of events in Rome, that that is the way things are, and that they have made a difference. Now, of course, you and I have been hearing for the last couple of years about Brexit and the fact that there are those in London, those in England who want to leave the European Union, and Theresa May, the Prime Minister, is having quite a rough time with her government. But no one has actually made the point out loud that one of the reasons why there is this separation is because of the strong influence of Catholicism on the other nations in the European Union, other than Britain. The fact that Britain's original departure, based on what happened with Henry VIII, has continued and settled itself in quite an interesting way. Now, that's a very brief article there. It's entitled, "Is the Vatican the Cause of Britain's European Schism?" Published April the 6th, 2005, written by Tim King, found in Politico website. Now, there's another work that I'd like to share with you today, and I really came across this quite accidentally. It's entitled "The Forces Behind the European Union." Again, "The Forces Behind the European Union." It's found on the Christian Information Service website, CIS website, and it's written by Abel and Bente Stroksnes. Now, these are Norwegians, and so I'm going to spell the last name of these guys here. Abel, spelled like Abel, Bente, B-E-N-T-E, and the last name is Stroksnes, S-T-R-U-K-S, N-A-E-S. Let me spell that again for you. S-T-R-U-K-S, N-A-E-S. You can also find a lead to the article on the www.endtime.net website, which is very filled with a number of articles and research done by Abel and Bente Stroksnes. As I said before, these are Norwegians. The title of the article, again, the title of the work that they have done, is "The Forces Behind the European Union." The Forces Behind the European Union. Now, I know that sometimes when I'm looking for a pencil, I can't find it. So I'm going to spell that last name again for you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to spell all three names. That way you can find it very easily. These men's names are Abel, A-B-E-L, Bente, B-E-N-T-E, Stroksnes, S-T-R-U-K-S-N-A-E-S. All right, let's begin. The European Union started as a coal and steel union. This union, or plan, named after Robert Schuman, was called the Schuman Plan. The Coal and Steel Union was gradually turned into a political alliance, which was given the name the European Community. Today, we know it as the European Union. What will be next title that will be given? Did you know that prominent Catholic politicians were dominant in the creation of the European Union? For example, the French pro-European strategist Jean Monnet, the French Minister of Foreign Affairs Robert Schuman, the German Chancellor Konrad Adenauer, the Italian President of Ministers Alcide De Gasperi. The latter three were also leaders of the Catholic political parties in their respective countries, the Christian Democratic parties. Lars Bovdyst, The Swedish ambassador to the Vatican said, "We should note that the EU was founded by devoted Catholics such as Adenauer, Schumann, and Gasparri. All of them had the Union of Europe as an object." And of course, he makes that statement very clear. You can also find that quoted in an article entitled "The Road to the European Union Goes Through Rome." Again, the road to the European Union goes through Rome. Continuing. An article in the Sunday Telegraph on August the 25th, 1991, bears the title, "Now a Holy European Empire?" Under a large photo of the Pope, it reads, "In him we have the most political Pope in modern time." It is quite evident that many are aware of the influence of the Vatican on the European Union. Catholic leaders have marked the EU. Jacques Delors enjoyed the longest term as leader. He is a Catholic. Note the following information. The predominant religion of Confederation is Roman Catholicism, and its spiritual head is the Pope, to whom all who practice the Roman Catholic religion owe allegiance, political as well as spiritual. Among current leaders of Europe practicing this religion are Jacques Delors of Dutch Prime Minister Ruud Lubbers, both Jesuit educated, as well as Chancellor Kohl and Prime Minister Felipe Gonzalez of Spain, also devout Roman Catholics. These four leaders are products of the Roman Catholic social movement. The Catholic social movement believes that there is no nobler task than the unifying of our continent. Two internal commission reports submitted in February 1993 to EU President Jacques Delors argue that ancient religious differences are at the heart of the conflict besetting the Maastricht Treaty on European Union and religion, or at least some kind of peculiar new European spirituality inspired by Brussels. The European community, from its inception, was an idea in the mind of the Vatican to re-Catholicize Europe. And that is found in Maastricht, Magna Carta, Monarchy and Morality, page 3. And that was written by Michael Skemlin, S-E-M-L-Y-E-N. Let's go a little further. Former retired leaders Romano Prodi, José Manuel Barroso, and Herman Van Rompuy are also Catholics. Herman Van Rompuy is also a Jesuit. He was trained at a Jesuit school, St. Jan Bermand College in Brussels, and has also studied philosophy and economics at a Catholic university in Leuven. The president today, Donald Tusk, is also Catholic. Both the former leader and the European Commission, José Manuel Barroso, and the leader of the European Commission today, Jean-Claude Juncker, are Catholics and Jesuit trained. When Herman Van Rompuy spoke about the persons that are building up or forming the European Union, he said, "We are all Jesuits." When we're talking about Jesuits, it's also interesting to note that Pope Francis is also a Jesuit. The aim of the Jesuits is to break down Protestantism and the independent countries. We are clearly to be shown that this is being done today in Europe, also in Great Britain. You will learn more about the oath of the Jesuits later on in this document. Catholic figures have always dominated the EU. It is interesting to note that José Barroso, among others, has been a visiting professor at the Catholic Jesuit University, Georgetown University, where the world leaders are being educated to rule the world after a Catholic international pattern. The entire EU system shapes itself according to a Catholic model. The system is laid out in such a manner that individual nations are obliged to adhere to laws drawn up in Brussels. Those European nations that are subordinated to the Catholic-dominated order are now being steered by Catholic powers through a vast set of regulations. This set of regulations ties them both hand and foot. Now, believe it or not, I know you might not be excited about this, but I am going to stop here for today because I want to add the next few paragraphs to what we will expand on a little bit further. Suffice it to say that these articles are quite clear in the point that they're making. And as we go through this and we take a look at the abandonment of sovereignty of each one of these European nations, the coming together in one currency, all of this is a view and an objective that brings the entire world together, starting with restoring the Vaticanism of Europe. And of course, as we said before, Britain, or some people in Britain, let me be careful as I state that, some people in Britain are not willing and not happy to see the recatholization of the European continent. We are moving together. There is, as we have said before, there is a rejoining of attitudes and relationships between the Russian Eastern Orthodox Church and the papacy. And of course, that the influence that we talk about so often that Vladimir Putin has on our president here is not accidental. It is not accidental by any means. So you see that the world is pretty much coming together. The genius of the evil that is being played out here is that all of this is being done in secret. It doesn't look like if that's what's happening, but that is exactly what is happening. You look into the United States of America and you see the justice system being arranged in exactly such a manner. We've dealt with that. So the question is, have you taken advantage of all that God has warned you concerning? Are you ready for the time to come? Do you realize that ultimately the objective of all of these people coming together will be one, and that would be those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus? I would suggest today that you take some time and spend some time looking at your life, asking God to help you to move forward with haste. As you spend some time on your knees and spend some time in God's Word so that you might be prepared for the time to come and that it will not catch you unawares, but that you will be ready when the battle starts. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn us day by day. And we thank you, as we always do, that you speak to the hearts of men who are not in any way associated with our church or our organization, and reveal to them things that are happening around us so that we might be awakened to where we stand. We ask that you would forgive us of wasted time and guide us to make the changes that are necessary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, February the 28th, 2019.